This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 890. My name, as it is on hot days, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my guest co-host, Mr. Adam Donmoyer.
Madam, I'm Adam.
That's a palindrome.
That's right.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah. I had a dream. It is Wednesday, August 19th, 2026. On the show today, we have Broad Theater and their show, Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms. And later on, we're going to be talking to three companies at once, Austin Shakespeare, The Baron's Men, and Walking Shadow Shakespeare, and their event, The Great Austin Shakeoff. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, in Albuquerque, in Los Angeles, in London, and in Denver, Colorado. Stick with us. In the town. Okay, Adam Donmoyer. Hi.
Hi. How
are
you?
Yeah, that was your cue to say something.
I know. I'm excited. I'm glad to be here with you.
I'm excited to be here with you. So you just closed a show.
Yeah. I was in Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain. I've heard of that.
Final performance in Zilker Park Saturday night. It was a lot of fun.
Y'all were on my show last week. The woman who played Kathy Seldon was here. I forgot her name. You probably know it on by heart.
Yes, I do. It's Alicia.
Sure.
And she was amazing, and I really enjoyed hearing her sing. It was neat to hear her lovely voice, and I miss seeing her tap, but that's radio.
Yeah, well, the tapping is not... I have had a tap dancer here on the show before.
Really?
Yes, and then they brought a piece of wood and they tapped for the show.
That's great.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was wonderful. Well, great. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know if folks are hearing... In my headphones, everything sounds a little weird, so I'm hoping that you at home are not sounding weird. I'm just saying what it sounds like for me.
I am weird, so...
You are.
You're just bringing realism to audio.
Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. Molly Fonseca, welcome back to the show.
I'm standing.
Yes, and you have standing energy. Ariane, am I pronouncing that right?
It's Ariane.
Ariane Steer.
I'm also standing.
You are also standing. And also standing, I'll say it for you, is Adonis Anderson. Welcome back, Adonis.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Great. Well, somebody's got to appreciate me. I heard Molly say, as we were coming onto the air at the end of that you did not know what that music was. Did you recognize the song?
I liked it. I was vibing with it.
Did anybody else recognize that music?
I did.
Do you know what it is?
I know it's from Les Mis.
You do. It's true. It's I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah.
Did you recognize which cast member was singing that?
Who the actual performer was?
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid I didn't place it.
Trick question. It wasn't really a cast member. And actually, if you looked at your script, you'd see it was.
Well, that would be cheating.
It is. It's Aretha Franklin singing that.
Holy cow.
Yeah, holy cow. She's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
She works at it.
Yeah, that kid has talent.
She has got talent.
Bright future. R-E-S-P-C-T.
Les Mis. So I talked about Les Mis not too long ago on the show when MTI, Music Theater International, announced that the rights were now available for people. I thought it was interesting that the rights were just now available. As it turns out, the rights had been available before, but when it went out on the road, they pulled the rights for other companies. But what the conversation I was having was things like, for instance, Hadestown, the rights are available for high schools to do, but not for adults to do. And that was the way it was with Les Mis while they were out on the road. But there's a, they're coming up to, so now that the rights are reavailable, Is that right? Reavailable?
Reavailable, yeah. Sounds right.
Molly's nodding, which doesn't usually work on the radio.
I was trying not to cut in, but
well,
yeah,
can.
That sounds
you
like
please,
a word to
because
me.
If you don't cut in, I'll just talk all the time. Anyway, there's an article in the New York Times written by Michael Paulson, and lots of photographs. The photographs are by Roger Kisby. But talking about one specific production of Les Mis, but just talking about how many people are doing it now. And how much it's done all across North America.
Was this the article that talked about it being sort of a way for regional theaters to maybe bring in some income?
Yes, that was one of the reasons. And this was actually following a Utah production in an amphitheater called Tuakan. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But yes, and that, so one of the reasons why it's being done is that theater, I don't know if the people in this room know this or not, is having a little difficulty getting some heinies in seats.
Yeah.
And so people are doing shows that will bring in people's derrieres into the seatings of the theaters.
I believe that Georgetown Palace Theater has it on their season for next year.
I would not be surprised.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, all right. So I'm 51.
Inches high.
That's right. And especially right now because I'm the only one sitting. And this musical Les Mis was such a big hit in the 90s. I mean, it was insane. It was like Hamilton. It was the hot ticket to get. And the tour is still big, but I don't know if younger generations know what a huge show this is, but people still buying tickets tend to be a little bit older.
I would say that younger generations of theater people are aware of it.
Sure, fair.
Because
fair.
It was the, hold on, let me see if I, no, Phantom was a, so in the 80s, starting with Phantom of the Opera, became this era of these huge mega musicals. And it was Phantom, then it was Les Mis, then it was, I may have the order wrong, so please don't hate me, and it was Miss Saigon. Those are the big ones that opened in New York that were these mega musicals with big things. Les Mis' thing was the turntable.
Yeah.
So Phantom was the chandelier. Les Mis was the turntable, and do y'all remember what?
Miss Saigon was the helicopter.
Helicopter, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I saw Miss Saigon on Broadway when I was a kid, and I was underwhelmed by the helicopter. But that's neither here nor there.
I have never seen Miss Saigon.
I have never seen Les Mis.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've seen it several times, but I did not see it with the. And I was in New York when it was running, and Miss Saigon. I have not seen it with the turntable. I've only seen it in its current version, which is video. Anyway, it has been produced in 57 countries and 22 languages. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know if I should give my opinion on Les Mis. I feel like your regular co-host absolutely would. So I feel like I kind of owe it to her because I'm a fan of hers.
So we're all about opinions. And before you give your opinion,
okay.
I need to say this. That the opinions expressed on our stage and on the air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, or underwriters. It's just our opinion, for God's sakes.
Okay, I think this score is outstanding. I think the music swells, and it's so much fun to listen to. I think when you've seen the show a few times, you start to realize it really is a story about a bunch of miserable people. It's just sadness.
They should title it that way.
The revolutionaries die for nothing and gain nothing. And you get to the end of the show and there's this triumphant piece of music where everybody on stage is dead. It's kind of a big downer.
Well, also, and Javert is the worst character in playwriting history. And
y'all aren't really selling me on it, honestly.
It's a beautiful spectacle. Watch the movie.
Okay.
I did not hate the movie
either.
Except for the actor that played...
Javert.
Which was... what's his name?
I'm trying to remember his
Russell
name. He's a huge
Crow?
Movie
Russell
star.
Crow?
Russell Crowe, yeah.
I'll watch anything Anne Hathaway's in.
Oh, Anne Hathaway was wonderful.
She did a great job. Mm-hmm. But she got some... Not everybody thought that. Mm-hmm. I thought she did a great job. Anyway, so we spent much more time talking about this than I had planned on. So we're going to change subjects. And let's see what we're going to change subjects to. I have no idea. I don't plan this stuff out, even though I have a script.
An American Daughter?
Well, I don't necessarily go in this order. But
okay.
But now that you said it, I have to.
Cat's out of the bag.
The American Daughter is a show that opened off Broadway. It is a Wendy Wasserstein cautionary tale. And this is a revival of a play that she did back in 1997. It was not considered a success at the time.
Didn't she make some updates on this current revival? And there's some additions to the script is what I heard.
She did indeed. And it's got a staging off Broadway for La Femme Theater Productions. Directed by Sarna Lipine. And I did not realize, and I guess I just don't know Wendy Wasserstein very well, not alive. She died 20 years ago.
Huh.
No, didn't know. So her representatives, her estate, had blessed this current production, which indeed they did make some changes. It's a newly revised, and it incorporated texts from some of her earlier drafts. And the big problem with this, this review was written by Laura Collin Hughes for the New York Times. And her biggest problem with the founder of La Femme Theater Company is a person named Jean Lichty, who cast themselves in the starring role. And they said that was the biggest problem with the show. But it also had Mary Beth Peel in it. Dakin Matthews, who I don't know, but I think I should probably know that person. And they did a really wonderful job. And somebody say something? Did I hear something? Adonis, you're talking way too much today.
I just don't really know these plays that y'all are talking about.
You know everything.
No, I try to. Right now I'm just lost. I didn't know, is it La Mis?
Les Mis.
Les Mis. I didn't know that was a thing until now.
Okay. Well, and now that's your job to go and either watch the movie or listen to the music.
Okay, cool.
It's very film also. And I hear a rumor that Georgetown Palace Theater is doing it.
I've heard that rumor too.
I think I heard that today too.
Yeah. I thought I highlighted it where it said what the show is about, but it deals with the role that Lichty plays is Lissa Dent Hughes, a well-connected Washington liberal devoted to women's health issues. She's intended to be a non-controversial surgeon, a surgeon general nominee, but her insecure husband undermines that by telling a ratings-hungry TV journalist that she ignored jury duty, and evidently this was enough to cause problems for her confirmation.
I just want to point out that is not the plot of Les Mis, in case anyone sounded like it could have been to me. I mean, I know it's not the plot.
Do you hear the people sing?
Okay, now
that'd be an interesting.
Now we have to play copyright infringement because you just did that.
Well, I didn't sing it perfectly.
I'm teasing. Anyway, so that's it. That's all.
Nobody's accused me of perfection.
I have. So this is something I wanted to talk about last week or the week before, but I didn't get to. Who likes the book David Copperfield?
Isn't that a person?
It is a person. Okay, cool. He's a magician,
right? Okay.
Who dated a friend of mine, but that's a whole nother story.
Oh, that's interesting, actually.
I think I've been to one of his shows as a kid. Yeah.
But this is a different David Copperfield.
So, okay. So David Copperfield is a very famous character. Okay. Who wrote The Christmas Carol?
Charles Dickens.
was a book by Charles Dickens called David Copperfield. It's one of my favorite books of all time. So am I the only one that's familiar with David Copperfield, the book?
Yeah. I've never read it.
Oh, I highly recommend it. And almost anything else that he's written, although I've never read... what did I just say?
Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol.
There's so many versions of Christmas Carol. Yeah, I would be. Yeah, anyway.
So David Copperfield talks about a waif of a man, and he's a boy who is brought up by the villain in the book is a man named Uriah Heep. I just love Dickens' language, and the names of the characters are just so fun. So there is now a off-Broadway production of Copperfield the Musical.
Oh,
and there it was, written Charles Dickens right there if I looked at it. It's directed and choreographed by Gabriel Barr, who was in the who did Andrew Lippa's Wild Party and Amazing Grace. And it's going to be at the Duke on 42nd Street, starting September 29th, with an opening in October. I just think it's, this conversation is lost because I'm the only one that knows the book.
Yeah, but what I'm intrigued about is
Great Expectations. Have y'all seen Great Expectations? It was made into a movie, too.
I do like that one.
And Great Expectations was made into a movie, and that character's name was Pip. And David Niven played him in the movie that happened in the 20s.
Okay, so did you say it's a musical?
It did.
Is it, who wrote the score?
The score is written by Jeffrey Scharf, who also wrote Reunions and Who's Got Me.
Okay.
And it follows David Copperfield from a difficult childhood through adulthood, just as it does in the book. And he's got a sadistic stepfather named Murdstone, and the depredations of the villainous schoolmaster Creakle, and the mind-dumbing routine of a London sweatshop.
Well, I mean, it seems relevant. I mean, my youngest, he's really big on fair trade and the dangers of child labor. And I mean, that's what that story is about, right? He was pushed into working in the factories as a young...
Well, that was an era where child labor was
absolutely
just done. Yeah.
But we're kind of still in that era. It's just not as obvious to people.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to switch gears to something that folks may have heard of. Maybe you've heard of the Pirates of Penzance?
Absolutely.
Anybody?
Heard of it.
Okay. Gilbert and Sullivan. It was just on Broadway, rewritten as Penzance, the pirate musical.
David Hyde
no,
Pierce?
Pirates, the Penzance music with David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah.
And Gilbert and Sullivan are old-timey operetta writers, and their stuff is very, very problematic in a lot of ways. It's very sexist, racist, and all sorts of stuff. So we try to update it. But Pirates of Penzance is going to be done by National Yiddish Theater Volksbane in Yiddish.
Oh, cool.
And it's called Diyam Gazolim, or better known as Pirates of Penzance. I just think that's great.
Where are they doing it?
At the Symphony Space.
Cool.
I don't know if y'all knew about, they did that very successful run of Fiddler on the Roof done in Yiddish with one Joel Grey. As I think he was in it, he's also produced it. They're about to revive it again. But it played down in the National Yiddish Theater, and then it moved to Broadway, and it was supposed to be amazing. And there's a cast album. You can listen to Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish.
That is cool.
Yep. So that's the language of my people, Adam.
That I know, and I really appreciate that. One of my favorite musical theater guys is Mandy Patinkin, and he loves to, when you see him perform live, he'll always do a song or three completely in Yiddish.
I've seen him perform live. I saw him and Patti LuPone on stage together at the Paramount. One of the worst shows I've ever seen.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He sat on stage right, and she sat all the way on stage left. And they just basically did individual shows. They did not even acknowledge the other person was there.
Oh, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Strange.
Until they did a medley from Evita.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy. Did not like it. Nicole Shearer was with me at that point.
Oh.
Hi, Nicole, because I know she listens.
Hi, Nicole.
All right, we're running out of time. So therefore, I'm going to talk about two more things. Has anybody watched the movie 10 Things I Hate About You?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, and me, I have it.
What?
Well, I tried to watch it. I did not like it.
Classic.
You are so not who I thought you were.
It was. It's,
that's a line.
It's.
I think.
Kind of a negative, hateful show. I mean, with the title, it is Taming of the Shrew, which in itself is a little thing problematic. But there is going to be a musical adaptation that will be opening on Broadway. 10 Things I Hate About You on Broadway, August 17th, 2027, with music and lyrics by Carly Rae Jepsen, as well as Ethan Gruska. And the book is by Lena Dunham, and Jessica Huang. They don't have a cast or a theater, but this was announced on August 17th, 2 days ago.
Wow.
How does
and it's going to open on August 17th.
Wow.
How does a show get an opening, get a date?
They go to the theater.
When they don't have the cast yet. Like,
oh, you don't need a cast. I could, if I have a property, I can go to the Schubert Organization and say, is this theater available?
Oh, you can spend the money.
Yeah.
It's money. Okay.
Anyway, it's a pretty big deal. It's Lena Dunham's Broadway debut. Mm-hmm. And, I thought that was interesting. I did not realize. So I don't really know who, I bet you all do, Carly Rae Jepsen. Is she a country western singer?
No, she's a pop.
She's pop.
She's a pop girly.
Yeah. Pop girly?
Yeah. She's iconic.
I hear that a lot on my TikTok feed. I'm a insert thing girly.
I'm a therapy girly.
I'm a Broadway girly. she was in Cinderella back in 2014.
Oh.
So that's her. So this is not her Broadway debut. And the last thing I want to talk about is, actually it's several things, but talking about different ways to see things. One of the things that I want to talk about, I keep talking about it, is Schmigadoon.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch the series Schmigadoon?
I did.
I did.
Loved both seasons. Was kind of excited about the third season.
I loved season one. Did not like season two, but was excited for season three, which was written before they canceled it. But of course, everybody here knows that it did open up on Broadway.
Yeah.
And had a Broadway run. Well, they are getting a cast album.
Well, good.
Which is good.
They won the Tony this year, right? Schmigadoon?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It did well at the Tonys.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you are going to hear a song from that new cast album at the end of the show today.
I can't wait.
But there are also things that are happening that we can't. Lots of streaming opportunities. And there's an article in the New York Times written by Elizabeth Vincentelli that can go. And you can also link at offstageonair.com to this article. But I want to talk about two of them because this one I just got the title of this one just kills me. Not kills me. It caught my eye. Chekhov for Children.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that's not what it's called. It's a documentary.
There's a water gun.
That's maybe depressing. Yeah, right. I was going to say, what happens with the gun?
Water gun.
I was wrong. It is called Chekhov for Children.
Oh.
And it is streamable on Vimeo and Cineverse, which I don't know. It's a documentary about a 1979 production of Uncle Vanya playing at Symphony Space.
Very
coincidentally.
Cool.
It starred fifth and sixth graders from PS75.
That's cool.
So I'm going to watch that.
Cool.
And the last thing I want to talk about is Six the Musical. They did a pro shot of it. It is hitting the theaters soon. Doesn't say when. The other article I read about this said it's sometime this month. But it is, I checked Fandango. It is going to be available in Austin. It's playing for a while. I know it's playing at Barton Creek Mall. And that's the closest one to Austin. And there's all over. But I'm kind of excited to see it. Have you heard of Six?
I've heard of it.
Not the answer I was expecting. It's August something. It's like in 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe this information's incorrect, but it's saying something about August 14th.
Sure, August 14th. Why not? Then it's available now. Adonis, do you know Six?
No.
It's a pop telling of the Six Wives of Henry VIII. It's been here in Austin. Have you seen it, Molly? It's been here several times. Twice, at least.
No.
It's worth seeing. It's fun. It's hard to not have fun, but bring earplugs. It's very loud. but I'm very excited about that. This is the West End cast doing it from 2022.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a show that did everything right. I'm not going to go into all the mishigas because we talked about it a lot. It was set to open, I believe their first preview or their opening, I forgot which, was the day that Broadway shut down during the pandemic. And then they had all sorts of these other missed opportunities, but they also played Chicago before New York. They had all these different openings, but they're played all over the world too. So with that, let's listen to Don't Lose Your Head from Six, and we'll come back and talk to our guests for the real reason why they're here. We'll be right back.
So we're going to go on and talk to our guests for the real reason why they are here, and that is Broad Theater's production of Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms. And we have the director and co-artistic director of Broad Theater, Molly Fonseca. Hi, Molly. You know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to turn your microphones on. Go. Say that again.
Hi. Hello.
Gonna be one of those days. And two of the performers, Ariana Steer.
Ariane. Yes.
And Adonis Anderson. I will mispronounce it every single time. I apologize in advance. And Adonis Anderson.
Howdy.
Okay. Molly, this show is an original world premiere written by local playwright Greg
Romero.
Mm-hmm.
And music composer Mike Vernusky.
Oh, there's music in it.
Yes.
Lovely. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, well, it's an original play, and it's centered on Audra, and she's a young Cajun woman, and she's dealing with some of her past traumas and trying to reconnect with her mother and a potential new love interest. And she's kind of followed by this very imaginative world, a human hedgehog hybrid and a fox human hybrid, and there's herons flying around, and there's this immersive soundscape and music. So it's a very imaginative, full world.
Sounds like magical realism.
To
use an industry term. That sounds amazing and fun. And did y'all? So you directed the piece, and I always love to talk to directors when we're doing original pieces, because I'm assuming that during this process there were changes and the show kept getting molded in different ways. How was that process for you?
Yeah, I mean, development work and working with the playwright is very important to Broad Theater, important to our process, because we always do world premieres. And so we have a designated time in our rehearsal room for just development and working with the playwright. So yeah, we expected all of those, we expected some changes to happen and conversations about, you know, is the storytelling happening here that we're hoping to see, and what can we do to adjust it or make the storytelling stronger? So, you know, it's just all part of the new play process. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me about the music.
Yeah, well, Mike and Greg went to Louisiana and recorded in the settings of where the play takes place. So there's actual sounds from the basin and from the swamps around Lafayette, Louisiana. And then there's lots of Cajun music. And someone in this room might sing a song, and someone else in this room might play an instrument. We had two of our actors learn how to play squeeze boxes and perform them live on stage, which is really exciting.
How cool is that? So was it Adonis that plays the squeeze box? No. So it's got to be the other person that's in the room.
Ariane does, yes.
And Adonis sings?
Yes, I do.
Amazing. Yes. See, my mind had it going the other way around.
Now, the squeeze box is like sort of similar to an accordion, but probably less buttons.
It is an accordion, yeah, the one I'm playing in this show. Yeah, so my friend has been teaching me very kindly and gotten to borrow his instrument. It's been definitely a journey learning, but
that's
very
cool.
Fun.
It doesn't have the keys like an accordion, but it does have the buttons, like the
it's a button accordion,
the cord and mm-hmm. the chords and the bass notes.
Yes, and it has the bass and the melody.
I think what you're picturing, Adam, is that thing that like old timey squeeze box is just it doesn't have any buttons. I think
we have two different ones, and I will say that Ariane's is nicer, newer. It's a more updated thing. And then Suzanne Balling is the other person who plays one. And hers is actually
a Cajun accordion.
Yeah, from her family. So it does look very different than the one that Ariane is using.
Well, I own an accordion. I'm an accordion nerd. I'm a keyboard nerd. So I'm always I'm fascinated that you play that. But I knew that they didn't have the full, they're just smaller in scope, but they have lots of, they can do a lot of things. That's neat.
That that's amazing. Ariane, do you play musical instruments ahead of time, or is this this is your specialty?
I guess so.
That is amazing.
It's a friendly instrument, so it's been
an FI, we call those in the business. So tell us about your character.
Yeah. So Audra is a young Cajun woman. She's dealing with aftermath of trauma and catastrophe, so to speak, in her own life, and trying to navigate that within herself. And I think we get to see a really rich inner world for her, and get to see her grow and heal and learn how to feel safe in relationships, and or try to. And it's a really beautiful journey playing Audra. There's so many layers to the character, and just try to bring her to life with as much justice as possible. So.
Oh, wonderful. And Adonis, tell us your character and about that character.
I play Barry, and it is Audra's, I wouldn't say love interest just yet, but they're getting there. And it's just a matter of Barry is just really Audra's helper and her aid and her healing in the best way he can be. He's very patient and he's very kind with her. And he's just, he's really there just as an aid for her in her like healing process, really.
So it sounds like typecasting to me.
Sure.
Yeah, because you're very kind.
Thank you, I guess, yeah.
And y'all are going to do a little scene, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
we are. Do you want to set the scene up?
Audra and Barry, they were both saying, have some kind of rules of how they interact with each other, and they kind of, it's all boundary setting, and Audra's character kind of sets up some boundaries of how she's going to relate to a new man in her life, and how he's going to approach her and talk to her. And so they have these games, and so this is one that they're kind of playing in a diner on a date.
Okay, great. Well, this is Ariane Steer and Adonis Anderson doing a scene from Broad Theater's production of Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms.
Free French fries. That should be our campaign slogan.
Right, but we can't really promise that.
Cool, cool. Just trying things out. Free French fries. I'm just practicing.
Right. These are so good.
I know.
Like, way better than Chuck E's Chicken Church.
I knew you would like them.
Like, do they have garlic in them or something?
Maybe.
They're delicious.
Free garlic.
Which mountain? You asked if I would climb a mountain with you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Which one?
Well,
I mean, we don't live anywhere near mountains. We'd have to go somewhere.
Well,
I love mountains.
I know.
What if we...
Well, what if we made a mountain instead?
What?
Instead of climbing a mountain, what if we made one?
Made one. That's interesting.
Like, we're each... A tectonic plate crashing into each other at a convergent plate boundary.
Have you been researching how fold mountains are formed?
That's amazing. What a lovely scene that is. See, I assumed when you talked about mountains that you were climbing Mount Lafayette.
It's a neat scene. You kind of see them in that moment, like falling for each other. You know, you see that progression, and as a viewer, as a listener, I felt like I was falling for them too.
Would you say that they're falling down a mountain?
That sounds catastrophic. Right now, it feels very sweet and positive.
So one of my favorite things about this play and about this relationship, and something that Ariane pointed out really early as we were developing the piece, is that as people who struggle with mental health and who struggle with these kind of like capital T traumas, it's really important for Audra to heal in relation with another person. So, you know, as the play progresses, they play these games and you do see them falling for each other more and more. But it's also about Audra like setting these boundaries and trusting that this man that she's interested in is going to understand what those boundaries are for and respect them as well. So it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's neat. It's neat seeing her advocate for herself in that scene and seeing him respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, that's all amazing. We're plumb out of time. So you are open now. When do you play through?
We play through August 29th at the Rosette.
At the Rosette. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to www.broadtheater.org.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. And best wishes on the rest of your run.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Molly Fonseca, Ariane Steer, and Adonis Anderson of Broad Theater's production of Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms. Play now through the 29th at the Rosette Theater. For more information, you may visit broadtheater.org. And this is from the Broadway musical Once, and it's called Falling Slowly. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Adam.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. We're going to run right into our local section here right now. But before we get into the our calendar, which you and I are going to read back and forth.
Right, I remember.
I have to talk about a little bit of sad news in that we have a member of our theater community who is in serious medical trouble. Adam Martinez has had some medical issues. He is in a coma right now. He's not doing really great. And I just want to send our heart and love out to him and his family. And also let folks know that there is a GoFundMe page going. And you can get a link to that at offstageonair.com to help his family deal with the medical costs. So my heart really goes out of this family.
My heart as well. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what's happening in theater right now. So you want to start?
All right. Well, Zach Theater has Sally and Tom through August 23rd and Come From Away through August 19th, or from August 19th through September 27th.
August 19th is tomorrow.
That's right.
Yep. Zahir Productions got Oversights playing through the 22nd at Hyde Park Theater.
La Fenice. Speak No More Lovecraft through August 22nd at the Tavern.
Broad Theater, we just heard them. Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms through the 29th at the Rosette.
Shakespeare, But One of Us is Drunk. August 13th through the 22nd. You had them on.
At the Vortex. We did have them on. Yeah. Kung Fu Cowgirl Productions has got Kung Fu Cowgirl the Musical. They're going to be coming on soon. They're playing September 3rd through the 13th at Zilker Hillside.
City Theater has Avenue Q, August 28th through September 13th.
Stargaze Theater Festival is playing through the 22nd at the Dougherty Arts.
The Vortex has Fireworth, September 5th through the 26th.
They believe they're coming on next week as well. Cold Frame Collective, they were on last week. Servant of Two Masters is playing through the 23rd at Trinity Street.
Cinnamon Path Productions, A Few Tiny Acres Reading, August 24th at Hyde Park.
Great. And our auditions, I'll just read these off. Penfold Theater's got Steel Magnolias auditioning on the 23rd. And they're also auditioning for Mad Libs Live, which is my favorite title. Ground Floor Theater is auditioning for A Strange Loop on August 26th. Georgetown Palace Theater is doing A Wonderful Life on the 23rd. Crown Theater's got A Christmas Carol Catastrophe, August 29th. And ACC is auditioning for Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors, on August 30th. And now it's time for Today in Theater History. You
awesome.
Ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Yeah, but I've got to pull it up because...
I know, but you're just building up the suspense.
Yeah, not much happened today.
Really?
No. Only one show opened, but we had a whole bunch of... Well, not a whole bunch. A few birthdays. Kira Sedgwick. I can't pronounce that name.
I think you had it.
Okay. Tracy Thomas's.
John Stamos and Peter Gallagher all had birthdays on this day.
Happy birthday, guys.
And we did have a musical opening, and I totally forgot about this one. Dracula, the musical, opened at this point. That was a Wildhorn musical that it actually played for 150 performances or
really?
So.
Really? Was there a lot of blood?
There was. It's Dracula.
I mean, it you expect it.
Yeah. So let's take a break and let's listen to a song from that. Deep in the Darkest Night from Dracula the Musical. And this is Norm Lewis singing it. We'll be right back. Deep in the darkest night. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Adam. Adam, are we having fun?
We are having a blast, and I'm really excited about these folks that are here right now.
Nobody's here. What are you talking? You don't see people here, do you?
What? Oh,
I have a sixth sense. I see theater people.
Let's introduce our next guests here. It's a trifecta of Shakespeare theater companies. We have Stephanie Crignola from Walking Shadow Shakespeare.
Nailed it.
Right. And I looked.
And you looked at Lindsay.
I looked at Lindsay Polinsky of the Baron's Men.
Hello, hello.
And I don't know this person, Alex Alford from Austin Shakespeare.
Hi.
Hi. And Stephanie and Austin are wearing merch from their companies.
Lindsay failed today.
We told her it was okay because it wasn't on video, and now you just called her out on it.
Lisa. That's what we do. So, boy, I'm so excited about this. This is called the Great Austin Shakeoff, which is happening on the 22nd. Somebody tell me about this event. It sounds great.
Yeah, so imagine if theater was a competition and you could vote with your money on who won. So we are doing, in the style of the Great British Bake Off, which is wholesome and delightful competition, we're doing four different rounds of monologues with an actor from each theater representing. And then at the end of each round, comedy, history, tragedy, and to be or not to be, the audience will get to vote with their dollars.
That's great. And so I saw the lineup and everything. And I believe at the end, everybody's doing to be or not to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in what I looked at, it looked as if the three of you were doing to be or not to be. Is that the case?
Just the three of us. So we're each theater company is fielding a competitor in each of the categories. And then the competitors in to be or not to be category are the three of us. We are the competitor.
Could y'all just do it for us right now, but everybody take an individual word?
You have to come to the show.
Oh.
Come to the show.
Okay.
So sorry.
There is no reason to apologize because nothing happened. Just notate this time, if you would, Adam.
I got it.
Good. Perfect. Great. So we're going to go and watch the show. So this is fun. Was this a brainchild of somebody in this room?
No, actually, it was Mike.
Everyone pointed
at me because Mike and I are...
You're a couple.
Yeah, because we're one person. We have no distinct personalities of our own.
You have the same last name.
Yeah.
So Mike came up with it. It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, he wanted it to be like wrestling themed. But Andy Bond of the Baron's Men decided that it should be wholesome instead. So
the Austin Shakeoff is such a clever title. Play on titles. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So just for the heck of it, if y'all could just go through by company and say who your actors are. We'll start with Austin Shakespeare.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
And if you can't remember it, I have it written.
No, I know who our actors are. And a lot of people are going to know who. Some of our actors
I believe they are.
So we've got Babs George, who is well-known around town.
Yep.
Robert Ferris.
Yep, they know each other.
That's right. They do know each other. And just FYI, Robert founded Austin Shakespeare along with two other people in 1984.
Wow. I know that about Robert.
That's right.
Okay.
Fun fact.
That's good
news. Then we've got one of our young Shakespeare actors, Skylar Ewing, who was just recently Portia in our The Merchant of Venice at Scottish Rite.
Oh, great.
And then you've got me.
And we got
the things I get myself into.
That's worth going right there is to just see you.
To fulfill your lifelong dream.
It is. And what about Walking Shadow Shakespeare? Who's...
Yeah. In our comedy round, we have Mike Crignola. In our tragedy round, we have Pablo Munoz Evers. And in our history round, we have Rachel West.
Okay.
And then we have the Barron's Men.
The Barron's Men's competitors are Andy Bond in History Round, Julio Mea in our Comedy Round, and Audrey Rankenberger in our Tragedy Round.
And on the Comedy, Tragedy, and History Round, are they all reading the same monologue, or do they get to choose?
No.
They get to choose their own.
And how long do these monologues run individually?
Between 1 and 3 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I think that's about right. We said under 5 minutes because the histories can go.
They prattle on.
Yeah,
don't they?
They do.
They're prattling. They like to prattle.
They do.
That's it. Is anybody doing anything from? Is anybody doing Trinculo?
No.
No Trinculo for you.
You can come to a guest spot. Absolutely.
Trinculo, we're just talking about this on the air, I believe, last week. I want to play Trinculo.
That's my desire. And you'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Just run up on stage on Saturday.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I could do it. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm running a show of my own. Yeah. You have to do shows on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. this is so much fun. You're doing it at the Scottish Rite?
Yeah.
That's, nodding does not
I
work
know.
On the radio.
Yes, we are.
It's a beautiful venue. Everyone at Scottish Rite is so welcoming and amazing.
And Scottish Rite has become your temporary home, meaning the Barron's Men.
Yes, and it was Young Shakespeare as well.
Oh, and we're booking for next year, so it'll be back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and we are also doing our fall show there, so it's kind of perfect to...
Too bad they don't have any backdrops that might be Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, right.
We got a big old G coming down. We're not sure what it stands for, but we're saying it stands for great. Austin Shakeoff.
It does.
I would like to think it stands for Galisa Sheps.
Yeah, good.
Get Adam Domwater.
So that's great. I'm wondering, are y'all rehearsing this, or are you just having people show up? So y'all don't know whether this could be any good or not.
Barron's Men is having a rehearsal tomorrow night.
Okay.
We are
because
running.
Y'all are perfect.
No, we're. I'm not claiming that at all. We are our own creatures. Really, it's just that two of our four competitors are in our upcoming production of Taming of the Shrew, and so I said I'm coming to rehearsal and bringing Audrey, and we're all going to do our monologues once so that we get the nerves out of doing it in front of our friends. Which is more nerve-wracking than doing it in front of a group of strangers.
Agree.
So, and I also have to fit costumes tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, we're doing a little rehearsal tonight because I'm a control freak and want to make sure everything's good.
No, I'm not going to go to Babs and Robert and say, "Oh, gee, guys, no. You want to?" No.
Do you want me to?
Y'all have some amazing, amazing actors. I mean, they'll all come prepared,
absolutely.
And they're going to. Knock everybody's socks off. This is on my list of things I really, really want to see.
Yeah, me too.
Yay.
So now the three of you were doing the To Be or Not To Be speech. Have y'all seen each other's performances?
No.
Are you playing it straight? I would make it a comedy. I would play it for laughs.
Yeah, it's such a funny moment.
It is that. Well, yeah,
there are definitely moments of humor in the speech. I think what comes out, and I'm excited to see, because I've definitely thought about texting Steph and being like, okay, how are you doing this line or whatever, and I'm like, no.
Competition.
Healthy competition, but
I have no idea what it's going to be until I get up here on stage.
That would
it could be
me.
Funny.
I would not maybe plan it until I got there. So, okay, I want to be mindful of time because we're running out of time. We have this thing that we have to listen to. So I want to make sure that we understand, how does the competition and ranking go without talking about ticket prices or anything? Mm-hmm. So when I come to see it, am I watching everything and then voting on the individual companies as a whole, or am I voting on each individual performance?
Each round will have a winner, and we'll have people going through the audience with buckets during each intermission after each round. So you can vote on your favorite performer. There might be a different theater company that wins each round. And then we will crown a total combined winner at the end of the night.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And this is just a one-shot deal, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. And when does that one-shot deal happen?
Saturday, August 22nd, 7:30 p.m.
Scottish.
At the Scottish Rite. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Stephanie Cugnola, Lindsay Polinsky, and Alex Alford. I'm not speaking well today. of Austin Shakespeare, Baron's Men, and Walking Shadow Shakespeare, and the Great Austin Shake-Off happening on August 22nd at the Scottish Rite Theater. This has nothing to do with Shakespeare, but this is Shake the Blues Away. Ooh. From Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Adam. And it's great. Adam, so it was really great to play with you today.
I had such a good time. Such a good time. And anytime you need me to fill in.
I'll always need you to fill in. So we're going to run away. We have this PSA that you're going to listen to. Up next is Tracy Schultz with What's New. He's going to tell you what's new. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.